Please stand for the reading of the gospel. It is Mark, the 12th chapter, verses 38 through 44. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect at the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogue and places of honor at the banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive their greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth about a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it was one of those miserably hot summers. Highs were hovering well above the century mark, and the evenings and nights cooled down to a really comfortable 85. And have you noticed that even with the blessings of air conditioning, when the heat continues on and on and on, tempers begin to run just a little thin? We know we live in an area of the city where we can hear the sirens, you know, the people who really lose their temper. I remember there was a day in there that the sirens seemed to go all day and all night. Finally, about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, I decided that sleep was just a dream. And so I got up and I went downstairs, and I just hit the bottom step when I heard the unmistakable sound of running water. Thorough check of the bathroom, the kitchen, and the basement turned up nothing. But I could still hear the water running. Now, the reasonable side of me said that, well, obviously, if nothing was wrong inside the house, it had to be outside, and that I should just wait until the sun came up so I could see. But the miserly side of me said, it's costing us money. And so I listened to the water run a little longer, and the miserly side won out. I put on my shoes and got a flashlight, and I went out back. There was nothing wrong. I checked the side yard, even the water meter. There was nothing wrong. But then I looked up. And there by the porch steps was the hose. We never leave the hose by the front porch steps. And as I rounded the house, it became quite obvious what the problem was. Someone had used the hose as a shower, and it had obviously been several hours early because the water was cascading down the front terrace. Okay, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to know what the topic of conversation in our house was that morning, does it? You know, it's a little unsettling to think that someone would walk into your front yard and just use your hose to take a shower, but the worst part was they left the water on. If they had just turned it off. And so Michael and I, we were discussing what we could do to make sure that there wasn't a repeat of the problem. But we kept being interrupted by Sophia. She was about 7 years old at the time. And as we were discussing the problem and the solutions that we could come up with, she was full of questions. Why would someone use the hose to take a shower? Where do homeless people sleep? Do we have extra envelopes? If we were homeless, would I still get to go to school? How do you spell pennies? Would I get to go to the library? How do homeless people cook? Here. Can we put these by the hose tonight? She handed me two identical envelopes. While Michael and I were discussing what we saw to be a problem, Sophia got busy and did something about it. She'd gotten a couple of pieces of paper and her crayons, and she'd written a note. Dear friend, I'm sorry you don't have a house. Here are three pennies. Spend them however you want. Your friend, Sophia. Shut down by a 7-year-old. There was absolutely nothing else to say except maybe to ask her to add a P.S. Please remember to turn off the water. You know, we often marvel at the simple faith of a child, don't we? It's also equally fascinating that sometimes that simple faith is played out in the lives of people like Mother Teresa, Mahatma Gandhi, even teachers who choose to spend their entire career in a tough inner city school. Like the poor widow in today's gospel lesson, we tend to look at those people and then we set them up on a pedestal. And we invite the whole world to come and to see, to marvel at their humility, their willingness to serve. And we tell others the story about them. And we want them to marvel too. The problem is that by doing so, we tend to make their sacrifices look larger than life. And when things are larger than life, then we don't have to try to emulate. So in place of taking them off the pedestal and allowing their example to influence our own personal choices, we keep them at a distance where their influence is minimal or non-existent. You know, that's what the church has done with the widow in today's gospel lesson. We have spent so many years marveling at the magnificent stewardship that she showed that we have become totally blind to the main point of the story. Do you remember how the reading began? Jesus had entered the temple. He'd been teaching. He'd also had a few disagreements with the rulers. And finally he turns to the disciples and he says, "Beware of the scribes. They like to wander around in their fancy clothes and demand the finest seats wherever they go. They say their long prayers and they devour the widow's house." They devour the widow's house. And then after this, he sets himself down opposite of the temple treasury. Do you know what the temple treasury looked like? It was this magnificent golden horn, shaped like a ram's horn. And when you put your money in it, it made lots of noise, especially if you put lots of money in it. And Jesus sat there and he watched people put their money, their offerings in this magnificent, very expensive horn. And there was lots of money being put in. And who does he finally see? A widow. Now know that according to the Jewish law, it was the temple's responsibility to care for the widow and the orphans. The money that went into that horn, the money that went into that offering, it supplied the salary for the scribes and a living for the widow. Beware of the scribe who walks around in a fine robe. Isn't it amazing how the person who gets to divide the money up ends up on the top of the heap? Scribes were living quite well. Widows, however, were given just enough money to get by on, not enough to ever flourish. And you have to remember that it was very rare that a woman was allowed to own property, and it was even rarer that she was allowed to have employment. Beware of the scribe who devours the widow's house. When Jesus saw the widow placing her last few coins in the temple treasury, what amazed him was not the fact necessarily that she was giving her last two coins. It was her willingness to give them to the very institution that was oppressing her. Why did she do it? Was she just not too bright? Was she wanting to bring attention to either herself or her cause? If that was the case, Jesus wouldn't have lifted her up as an example. Christians, what we choose to ignore is the fact that the widow's offering was an act of faith, not in the institution, but in the kingdom that would be built by God's own hands. Her faith was not one of pious words and empty rituals. It was lived out in concrete acts of service and love. And by placing her coins in the treasury, the woman was painfully aware of the leader's deception and the temple's shortcomings. So she gave not out of ignorance or blind obedience, but out of a desire to dedicate all she had, all she was and all she ever hoped to be, to God and to God's building of the kingdom. She gave all she had so God could build. If Jesus entered this sanctuary today, would he find a person like her in you and in me? To God be the glory, and all God's children say, amen.